Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Man Industries Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Singh from IIFL Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Shruti. Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. On behalf of IIFL Capital, we invite you to the Man Industries Limited 1Q FY27 earnings conference call. From the management, we have Dr. Ramesh Chandra Mansukhani, Chairman, Mr. Nikhil Mansukhani, MD, Mr. Sandeep Kumar, CFO, Mr. Rahul Rawat, Company Secretary, and Mr. Vijay Ganjandani, DGM, Investor Relations. So without any further ado, I will now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. This is Nikhil Mansukhani. On behalf of the entire Man Industries team, I welcome to you all to Q1 FY27 earnings call. A bit of the quarterly highlights. We have started off FY27 well with the highest ever consolidated quarterly EBITDA. This is mainly led by an optimized product and geographic mix and continued deepening of our global order pipeline. Consolidated revenue growth was strongest year-on-year revenue growth in the last 5 quarters. If I take only core pipe business, this is the strongest YOY growth in the last 8 quarters, while consolidated PAT more than doubled YOY. Our consolidated order book stands at approximately 3,600 crores across India and Saudi Arabia, with the majority executable order over the next 6 to 12 months, giving us a strong revenue visibility into the rest of FY27. Beyond that, our combined bid pipeline stands at approximately 24,000 crores, giving us a substantial base for future order inflows. Industry demand outlook, basically stepping back from the numbers for a moment, I want to share our view on where demand is headed and how we see ourselves placed within it. What we are seeing across our markets isn't a one-off upcycle. It's a structural multi-year shift. Governments and national oil companies are investing to secure and diversify their energy supply, to build out water and desalination infrastructure for growing populations, and to industrialize their economies through giga projects and dedicated manufacturing clusters. That's a very different demand profile from the project-to-project cyclicity this industry has historically lived with, and we think it favors companies with a genuine scale, local present, and long-standing customer relationship over pure-play exporters. Aramco's network expansion, water transmission projects, the expansion of East-West pipeline, rehabilitation program, master gas system expansion, along with parallel wave of water and desalination investments, are all translating into tangible and executable pipes opportunities. Saudi Arabia's infrastructure pipeline includes significant investments across oil and gas, gas transmissions, water desalination, and large-scale development projects. What gives us particular confidence in the breadth of demand across multiple end markets and projects rather than dependence on any single project or customer? This diversification, combined with the kingdom's long-term infrastructure ambition, provides us with strong multi-year visibility and compelling platform for sustained growth in Saudi Arabia. The traction is visible across nearly every region. We track not just Saudi Arabia. In the wider MENA and GCC, the post-conflict environment is, if anything, accelerating investment procedures. Producers like ADNOC, Qatar Energy are pushing ahead with expansion, and government-backed water and gas programs are continuing regardless of the near-term shipping disruptions. In Southeast Asia, we are seeing a genuine second wave of pipeline investments from Indonesia, Vietnam, and Malaysia, all expanding gas transmission and LNG import infrastructure, and Asian governments collective targeting to close $1 trillion of energy infrastructure investment over the coming years. Across the broader Far East and Asia Pacific, the Strait of Hormuz disruption has had an unusual side effect, because roughly 80% of the crude oil and nearly 90% of LNG that transits through the strait is destined for Asian buyers. Countries from Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Bangladesh, and Philippines are now urgently diversifying their supply chain, locking in long-term contracts with non-Gulf producers, and expanding LNG import and distribution infrastructure to reduce the concentration risk. That's a genuinely new structural tailwind for pipe demand in the region, one that didn't really exist 18 months ago. With National Pipe Company, we've moved from being an exporter into Saudi Arabia to being in kingdom manufacture. With Aramco approved vendor status, our upcoming facility, the coating and double jointing facility, deepens that local value change and value added product. Our Jammu project extends our capability at home into a new higher margin stainless steel segment, all while our core India business continues to benefit from country's own water and gas infrastructure build-out. Put together, we now have a genuinely diversified platform spanning geographies and end markets rather than concentrated bet on a single region or a commodity cycle. On the business development front on NPC, having completed the acquisition of NPC, our teams have made a strong progress in integration, takeover, and we expect the Saudi operation to ramp up meaningfully from Q2 FY27. This gives us confidence in significantly stronger and more complete contribution from the platform going forward. On our upcoming Tamam coating and double jointing facility, this further strengthens our integrated manufacturing, value-added processing capabilities in Kingdom, with operations targeted to commence by March 27. On our Jammu Greenfield Stainless project, construction remains on track with production expected by March 27. Little bit on our real estate Merino shelters. The monetization is already in process. We have now also received the commencement certificate for the entirety of the project along with the RERA registrations. And the project is set to launch around mid of September. And this would further bring in the cash revenues to the company in FY27. I would like to hand over the call to CFO, Mr. Sandeep Kumar Garg. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the discussion on our Q1 FY27 financial performance. Let's start with the key financial highlights. On a standalone basis, revenue grew 37.5% year-on-year to 1,028 crore. EBITDA grew 95.1% year-on-year to 157 crore, with EBITDA margin expanding 450 basis points to 15.3%. PAT more than double year-on-year up to 167.7% to 78 crore, our highest ever standalone quarterly PAT we have achieved. This PAT margin expanding 370 basis points to 7.6% is also a record for the company. On the consolidated basis, we delivered our highest ever consolidated quarterly EBITDA of 155 crore, which is up 92.6% year-on-year and 5% quarter-on-quarter, driven by the strategic optimized product and geographic mix and continued deepening of our global order pipeline. Consolidated revenue for the operation grew 37.7% year-on-year to 1,065 crore, while consolidated PAT more than doubled year-on-year to 61 crore, underscoring the operating momentum we carry into rest of FY27. As all of you know that we have acquired National Pipe Company in the last quarter, current quarter, and acquisition date was 21st of May, so only some part of revenue has come into current quarter, and from the next quarter, full quarter revenue will be reflecting in the results. So we, as per our guidance, we have given around 1,500 should be the revenue for the NPC in the this current FY26. Merino Shelter also, as Mr. Nikhilji just mentioned, has got the fire certification received and project is getting launched next month. We are anticipating 35 to 50 crore cash inflows in this current financial year. With this, we open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viraj from MoneyGrow. You may proceed.
Hi, Nikhil. Mr. Gupta, congratulations. Fantastic results and good to see NPC numbers coming through. Two quick questions is one on your press release. I wanted to reconcile a disconnect between your standalone and consolidated performance. So till the EBITDA line, the number for Q1 is roughly the same. However, at the PBT and the PAT level, the number is lower at consolidated versus standalone, reflecting a PAT of 61 crores versus in console versus 78 crores in standalone. Can you explain what's happening there?
Yeah, sure. It's a very good question. Where, as you know, that Man Industry as a standalone company has given intercompany deposits loan for the Saudi acquisition as well as the Jumbo project, MSTL. So all those
right.
income, which is the intercorporate income, corporate guarantee commission, which is treated as an income in the standalone basis, get nullified when we do the consolidation. So I think when our business is growing and looking forward at Saudi operations, consolidated numbers which you should look at, which gives a correct picture.
Understood. And these intercorporate deposits will be repaid by these various entities to standalones over time. That will normalize a little bit.
Over the period, these will be paid back.
Understood. Thank you. My second question is again regarding your press release, where you know in the first quarter you've done 1,000 crores of top line. You have a 3,600 crore order book, which is executable over 6 to 12 months, which takes you into mid next year. But you give a revenue guidance of 5,000 crores. Again, can you reconcile that? Because, you know, unless we win a good amount of orders fairly soon with
yeah,
a six-month exit. Sorry.
If you see, we've given this as on August. So mm-hmm. certain part of July, full July is already executed.
Understood. So that's the gap.
And plus, there are some orders we are already received, but we normally announce it once we cross 500 crores.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dikshi Jain from Incred Research. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you for taking the question. My first question is regarding the numbers of NPC consolidated into Man Industries. Can you give us an idea what was the revenue portion for NPC that has been consolidated and how long is this, how many days is this consolidation for in the first quarter?
Yeah, it's a total
practically
revenue.
It is hardly 15-20 days number as we taken over company on 21st of May and there was a Eid holiday. So around 15 days there was no work, Saudi was completely closed. So they opened on the first week of June. So around 20 days number which we have consolidated is around 43 crore revenue has come in this period.
Okay. So on standalone basis, according to the last presentation, NPC company had higher EBITDA margins than Man Industries standalone. How did it happen that for this quarter, the consolidated numbers, it became dilutive after consolidation?
No, the numbers diluted in the sense you mean to say the profit? Like Sandeep just said before this question, that the loans given get counter, right? Because
I'm talking about the EBITDA margins. So on standalone, they are at 15.3, but consolidated EBITDA margins are at 14.6.
Yes, so basically because the revenue was not much, that's why the EBITDA margins are not higher for those particular days for NPC.
Okay.
EBITDA margin for NPC is still higher. Almost a 21% which NPC is operating. But as I told you, only a small portion of that income has come into consolidation. From the next quarter onward, you will see the full flavor of NPC Saudi operation into our results.
Okay. My next question, lastly, the question regarding one, gross margin and other expenses. The gross margin quarter on quarter has come down significantly. Is this because of an order which was lumpy in nature that caused the gross margins to drop and other gross margins to drop? And also other expenses have also come down significantly this quarter as a percentage of the revenue. So, can you explain here what is the difference?
Regarding other expenses, as you know that we were doing some DDP businesses. So the composition of order changes every quarter depending on which project we are implementing. So that has reduced the total other expenses. As far as gross profit is concerned, I don't think there's a much change from the last quarter.
Gross margin in this quarter is 35%. Last quarter it was at 53%. So there's a significant change for margin.
At this point, I will come back to you. Please, I have your this one. I will come back to you on this point.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for
the only reason. But if you look at our PAT and PBT, all those numbers are better because what has happened that DDP orders has changed from DDP to other mode of order module. So revenue and expenses both has come down, but net profit are increased.
Okay. Okay, I'll get back to you regarding this. Thank you for taking the question.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Rao from Purnartha Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Team, great set of numbers. My first question is on the capacity utilization for NPC, right? It revolves around that. You said that NPC will start, you know, ramping up meaningfully from the next quarter. So is it possible for you to give us, like, what would be the quarterly run rate going into FY 2027 end? Like, what would be the utilization levels that you're targeting by March 2027?
Capacity utilization is approximately, when you talk about India, is around 50%, 50%-60%. And NPC quarterly run rate from Q2, we are assuming between anytime between 300 crores-500 crores, 300-500 crores. This could be the quarterly run rate, and then we are obviously ramping it up for the new businesses which are coming up from December in Saudi.
Okay. So on the margin side, sir, NPC had reported roughly around like 25%, but our understanding is that we'll be kind of normalizing towards the 15-18% margins at a consolidated level, right? Like what specifically kind of causes this normalization, and what would you, what would you need to do to make NPC to kind of go back to the 20% margin levels eventually?
No, this is consolidated margin. We are talking about between 14% and 15%. So general sense of design mix of the business, you don't always get all the businesses with coating or bends or double joints. There are a lot of value-added business when you get a single order, but every time the same is not the case, you know. That's the reason why we've said that on a consolidated level now we will be consistently delivering higher EBITDA numbers and higher PAT. Is NPC will perform between 15% to 18%. And we will try and take more orders from Aramco because the EBITDA margins and profit are slightly higher and lesser towards water. So that is always our first focus, that the more Aramco orders you take, the profitability is higher. And then we take the water orders. So that can push up the profit up to almost up to 20%+.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you, sir. The next question that I had was like, you kind of alluded to it, but like what percentage of NPC's current order book is or contains coated or double joints ones, and can how much can potentially be converted into like 5+ coating order from your existing pipeline?
No, currently NPC doesn't have the coating orders because currently NPC is only a bare pipe manufacturing unit. There was nothing alluded. Basically, it is bare pipes which we are executing the orders of Aramco and water orders. Currently, NPC doesn't have the coating facility. It's under construction, if you see, and it would be up and running by March. And post that, we are hopeful that we would be getting the coating and the double jointing orders from Aramco and the other vendors.
Okay, so within this set, so you see some potential of what NPC orders today to eventually also get coating order in the future, right? So what kind of percentage would you ballpark it around, sir?
No, all the orders which are there are coated. So once you start getting, once the coating mill is up, you will start getting the coating, the double jointing and the pipe making, because all the pipes are 24 meters over there, which are LSAW. So Aramco gives the order 12 meter pipes, which you have to DJ compulsory, and then you compulsory coat it 24 meters. So we are hopeful that we will get the entire packages. And which should be all the packages.
Okay.
If you get the pipe, you should be getting the coating orders as well.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you. And one last question is more broader demand-based question, demand and capacity. Like with many of our competitors, like, you know, Wellspun, East Pipes, Arabian Pipes, and other players adding capacity in Saudi Arabia, how do you see the industry capacity versus the demand over the next, say, 2 to 3 years? Do you expect utilization or pricing to become a problem or a constraint for us?
Currently, there is a shortfall of between demand and supply. So supply is lower and demand is higher. And we expect this to continue for the next 3 to 4 years. Looking at the current, you know, with the war scenario and everything, a lot of new projects, the east-west line, the master gas expansion. So we do not see any problem as such for the next 3 years. Post 3 years, I can't say. I don't know if any other new player is coming. But what we are aware about, we don't see any demand-supply issue as of now.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue if I have any follow-up questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please proceed.
Hello, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a really great set of numbers, sir. So, just a question, sir. So now, by March 27, I think our Dammam plant and Jammu plant will, you know, come online. So, in terms of FY28, how do we look at that, sir, in terms of guidance, sir?
So, we would be doing approximately 25 to 30% growth.
That would mean base business, but even Jammu would come in, right? So that would push it further, or how?
But Jammu will not straight away give a top line of 1,000 to 2,000 crores. The Jammu would be an addition of probably 200 to 300 crores, because we've considered 25 to 30% of revenue in the first year. So
okay,
yes. So it will be scaled up eventually, and I'm saying this would be the minimum growth. You know, 25 to 30%, and then if things go well, it could be higher.
Okay. No, fair enough, sir. And sir, just wanted to know, like, when you said the demand not an issue, but in terms of competition, how do we look at it right now? There are some players trying to get a plant in Saudi, so maybe not this year, but they're going to come up by maybe next year or next year end. So in terms of competition, how do you look at it? Like, is the competitive intensity kind of increasing, and how do we mitigate that, sir? Does it become more like a price war, or how do, you know, we mitigate it?
The thing is, currently, even 2 years down the line, there is a demand, a supply gap, according to us. And obviously, the newer players will start, some of them will start next year, and some of them will start the year after. But the approvals, the API approvals, everything will come. But we still don't see a demand-supply massive gap. Yes, there might be some pressure on the price. That's always the case. But it is not like a price war, like you're saying. There is still enough gap in demand-supply yet. So we don't see any issues.
Okay. And so this one bookkeeping question, sir. In terms of Merino Shelter, so when we say we expect 35 to 50 CR cash flow, so how would that get recognized in our books? Would it just directly flow into PAT via other income, or how would it, you know, be, sir?
Yes, it would go directly into the PAT in the other income.
Will part of it.
Yeah.
That would it be lumpy in nature? How would it, you know, just come, like it would come in any quarter or it would be like steady flow? How would, like, if
It's real estate, so it would be lumpy, but we are estimating the project timeline is around 4 to 5 years for completion. So we've divided total revenue over 6 years. So it will be slightly lumpy, but you would get, that's why we've given a ballpark between 80 to 100 crores. So plus and minus 10%, probably a very good year would probably get you some more revenue, some more income. So, but principally, I think this is the ballpark which it will be around.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Subhadra Sarkar from Mount Intra Finance. Please proceed.
Yeah. Sir, one question on the NPP side, basically. So, one of our assumption is like, we can, in terms of our business turnaround and growth in case of NPP, one option can be.
Hello?
Hello.
We cannot.
Yeah.
Your voice is getting cut. Can you
Sir,
little bit?
is it audible now?
No.
No. It's still
Okay. Sir, is it
very.
audible now?
Yeah, it's better now.
Is it better?
Yeah, much
Yeah.
better. Thanks.
So, one point is like, sir, one of our internal assumption can be like, if we, in order to do a better margin in NPC, if we can replace our raw material through Chinese steel. So in that case, since we know like there is a IKTVA program where itself Saudi want to do more internal like usage of their own resources. So in these circumstances, like, is it a viable strategy that we can replace some of the steel through Chinese import and then we can do a better margin? This is one question, and I have got another question as well. Hello?
Yes. Should I answer or wait for your next question?
No. Sir, next question is on the broader side, sir. Like, we are undergoing two, three initiatives. One is NPC, second is JNK, and third, the coating plant. So, like, what is our managerial preparation to execute all these things simultaneously? What is our bandwidth and, like, is there any, so in terms of capability, like, sir, how prepared we are? These are the two questions.
Okay. So, Mr. Sarkar, the primary first question about replacement of steel in NPC for a better EBITDA to import from China. Today in Saudi, basically all the, there are no plate suppliers, so there is no question of made in Saudi. So everything is getting imported from POSCO, China, all the countries, wherever we are getting the best and approved vendor in Aramco, we are getting the best possible prices from there and importing the steel. When it comes to HRC, some of the coils are matched by the local Hadeed, and the remaining are also, if required, are imported either again from China, Korea, and everywhere. Wherever the best pricing is, we are getting. So there is no restriction on that by the government, and we are currently sourcing it with the best pricing possibility. So the EBITDA margins are, as per guidelines, are because of the best sourcing that we are doing. Yes, some things when we took over.
Hello?
Hello. Yes,
Hello.
sir, you can go ahead with your question.
It's Mr. Sarkar, right?
No, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, I have already
Yes.
asked the question, sir.
Yes, I know. I'm just replying. Line cut gayi thi beech mein.
Yes.
So, the EBITDA margins which are currently are as per the best possible prices which are sourced locally as well as internationally. And regarding your our execution capabilities for Saudi coating and Jammu, we already have our teams in place, and the execution is going on, so we do not find any issues. And we've been doing this since many years, including our coating plant and everything. So we have a large set of team which is already doing the needful.
Okay. And the last question on the cash flow side, giving our capex and other expenditure basically. So if you can help us to understand like what is our plan to like on a year, FY27 basis, what kind of cash requirement we have got and how we will get it. FY28 and maybe 27 and 28.
So 27, we are currently taken up two projects. NPC acquisition is already completed. Then we are putting up a coating plant in Saudi. That is going on, which is around $50 million investment, which will be funded partly by a loan, $25 million. $25 million we will do from our own. Then Jammu project, which is going on for 600 crore, the loan component will be 389, and balance our component we have already invested in the project so far.
Yeah. Is there any other any cash flow requirement, sir? In
no,
if I think you're
not
no, no, already both the companies had surplus of cash.
Okay. And sir, any estimate what can be our peak debt, sir, giving all those things?
Big debt as in this year?
Yeah. This no, by FY20. Yes, sir. Both, sir. Yes. Both, yeah. If you have
sir, total debt will be around 1,600 after all the projects get completed and all drawdown
happens. And that will be by FY28, sir, or like?
It will be lower than that because repayment of loans will start. So it will be lower than that. It will be 1,400
by FY28.
Okay. And this year, 1,600, sir, will be this year or like in between?
Projecting to complete both the projects. So this will be this year. Only condition is that all drawdown, everything project completed by March 27, then this will be the number. This is the maximum number. I will say this is the max loan number.
1600, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj from Interglobe Services. You may proceed.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. I'm fairly new to the company, so just a basic question. If you could share basically the revenue breakup between HSAW, LSAW, ERW and stainless steel pipes for this quarter and the same quarter last year.
Anuj, you can send us the details. We will see how we can break it up. We don't give those data across lines right now.
Okay. And just want to know that for the LPE coating that's coming up in Saudi Arabia, what is the total capacity of the LPE coating that's coming up?
4 lakh square meters per annum.
Okay. And just another question. Basically, you mentioned that the capacity utilization is in India is between the 50% to 60% range. So is that our peak utilization in every quarter, or it's more of an order book issue that we can't push the utilization level higher?
No, it's basically the orders, right? So different types and different sizes of orders. So we see where best fit is in which mill it goes in, and that is. So yeah, it's also a business. So that's why it is 50% to 60%.
Got it. And just following up one of the earlier participants' questions, if I look at FY25 on a whole, our gross margins were in the range of 22%, which shot up to nearly 38% in FY26. And we see that trend continuing. So just want to understand, what is the big change that happened in the business that our gross margins shot up by a huge amount?
A lot of the business that we got were DAP, you know, delivered at place,
yeah,
and different value-added products, CWC coatings. So we got to add a lot of the different margins on the varied value-add. So that's why it went up.
And we see this trend continuing this year and the next year as well?
Not always, to be honest. It's project to project basis. But looking at the current scenario in the world, we are seeing a lot more traction and a lot more orders. So probably if this trend doesn't continue, but your capacity utilization will go up. So either ways, it will go up.
Understood. And my final question is, from the current India plant, the LPE coating that we have is approximately 1.5 lakh tons per annum. So basically, what percent of the order book right now would have LPE coating, and what is the additional EBITDA margins that we can charge on, let's say, an LSAW pipe with coating and without coating?
No, so basically, 3LP, almost 70 to 80% of the pipes, probably 80% plus is with 3LP coating. But different, I can't tell you the EBITDA across right now because all projects are different EBITDAs. And some are with internal and external. But mostly, I think 80-85% pipes are coated.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That'll be all from me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Janam Doshi from Chris PMS. Please proceed.
Congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. So two questions. First is, like, out of the consolidated order book of 3,600 crores, can you help us with the breakup of NPC and India, and specifically for India also, what would be the breakup in terms of domestic and exports?
India is around 22 to 2300 crores. And the remaining is with NPC. And the breakup in India is, I think, 80 plus percent is again exports and 20% is domestic.
Understood. And the second one is, like, after the commencement of the coating facility, like, how will the realizations and margin profile shape up?
This is with the coating facility would be probably few more percentage up once NPC coating starts. So the margin profile will definitely kick up at least 3 to 4%.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my side. Yeah.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Viraj from MoneyGrow. Please proceed.
Hi, Mr. Gupta. Given all the moving parts, particularly on financing for acquisitions, could you indicate a level of finance costs that you expect overall at the console level in the P&L this year, approximately?
Yeah, this quarter, if you look at this quarter's number, this quarter's my finance cost is 39
crores, let's say 40 crores.
40 crores. So right. At the year end, I expect my finance cost full year will be around 190.
Okay, helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garvit Goel from Sivin Alpha. Please proceed.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you can hear.
Yeah, so congratulations for the great results, sir. My question Mr. Goel, is on the side.
Mr. Goel, we can't hear you. There's a lot of
background noise.
Yeah.
Great, sir. A second.
Hello.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah. So, my question on borrowing side, sir. Like, in quarter 1 FY27, total Jammu capex is around 600 crores, right?
Right. Jammu is 600.
And 350 are already done and 250 are ongoing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Can you help me to understand that what is the plan? Are you going to use internal cash or taking debt for that, sir? Can you also tell me the breakup of the capex of left 250 crores?
Basically, major breakup of the 250 which is left is in the construction, PB, and some of the machineries which the LCs are open. And the majority of the machineries which have already been delivered, they are amounts of commissioning and till the time the achievement of the COD is not done, those payments are pending. That's it.
Okay. Or that is internal funding or external funding, sir?
No, this internal partly and external funded also, right?
The balance
70-30.
Balance will be from that. Oh, got it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vaikarya Fund. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Just one question. I think the guidance which you had given for the company as a whole, that's something around 5,000 crore for this year. And that includes, I think, 1,500 crores from the Saudi plant. So does that mean that from the standalone business, we are expecting a more of a 3,500 crore kind of a, you know, top line? And that seems to be a more of a flat on a YOY basis. So can you just help us understand that?
Yes, currently with Saudi, which would be around 1,200 or some odd crores, India would be around 3,800. So it would be a nominal growth in India, and the rest would come in from NPC Saudi.
Okay. And this Saudi, I think you mentioned earlier that, you know, by exit quarter, maybe around 300, 400 crore kind of a run rate, which we'll be doing on a quarterly basis. But let's say if we look at, you know, FY28 onwards, how do you see this business scaling up?
So FY28 onwards, we are looking at between anything between 2,400 to 3,000 crores top line from Saudi.
Okay. And FY28 will still be on a plain basis and not exactly including the coating plant, which will come later on. Is that correct?
It will come by March, so we would get a majority of the revenue of the coating as well.
In FY28? Okay.
Yes.
Which you mentioned that it is a slightly higher operating margin versus the current plant.
Yes, it would.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Fennel Brahmabhat from Choice Institutional Equities. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good morning. Actually, congratulations for a good set of number. So I just want to understand that NPC acquisition. And what I am saying, there is no impact of that acquisition on our interest expense. So can you throw some light over there? Because when we did this acquisition, we were expecting some impact on our interest expense and that will impact our bottom line. But it's not showing as of now. So how we have digested that and not got any impact on the interest?
So, Mr. Fennel, as you know that we have taken almost 70% loan for this Saudi acquisition, and the acquisition happened in the middle of the May. So only 1.5 month interest cost has already been factored in this cost. So you are not seeing any cost increase here because there are some other costs which are reduced from the MAN Industries India operation. So total cost is coming 40 crore, which includes almost 40-45 days interest on the loan we have taken for NPC acquisition.
Right. And you are saying our annual target will be around 190 crore.
190 crore for the year, yes.
And that is including the impact of this acquisition as well.
Yes. And quickly to clearly answer your question, the loan is not on the MAN Industries book. It's on the book of NPC. And so Conso mein aega, but the interest and everything is on NPC. So wahan se whatever revenue comes, it will get cut and then accordingly and then it's reflected in the Conso.
Got it. Thank you so much for clarification and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep from MoneyGrow Asset. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. So under DDP model, freight cost has been moved below the gross profit, but is recovering revenue, right?
Sandeep, your voice is cracking and coming, Sandeep.
Am I audible now?
You're audible. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Under DDP model, freight cost has moved below gross profit, but is recovered to revenue, right? So, could you provide a light for like gross margin expansion excluding DDP freight pass-through? So,
I mean, that is not possible because it's an integrated part of the order which we invoice to customer. It is not like when we get an order from the customer, that price is already factored in that. So it's not possible to take out that from the product cost and DDP and then give you the profit from that.
And are you able to recover the entire like freight cost, like, or is it like?
No, we are able to recover the freight cost and more because obviously we get to load our margins on multiple handling, multiple locations, multiple transportation. So in fact, that's one of the reasons why the EBITDA goes up.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Ganesh Rao from Purnavi Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you, team, for the follow-up. One question on NPC is, like, what is the current EBITDA per ton at NPC and where do we expect it to settle, say, at 70% and 85% capacity utilizations?
So we don't disclose EBITDA per ton. We only give you the revenue number and the EBITDA and the final number. So,
Okay.
Actually, the point is, Ganesh, in our business, it's very different. The API business, a lot of the grades are very different. Suppose you can do from an X52 to an X80, and the same diameter pipe would cost you $2,000, and the same pipe would go for $1,000 also. But I mean, one is an X42, one is an X80. So you cannot determine exactly how the EBITDA would run. It depends on the design mix, on the orders, the criticality of orders, whether it's water or oil and gas, whether it is underwater or above water. So there's a lot of complexities to it. That's why we are not able to just break it down.
Yes, sir. That makes sense. What would be the normalized like working capital requirement for us for every 1,000 crores of revenue that we generate from Saudi's NPC?
For NPC?
Yeah, for NPC working capital.
So NPC working capital is approximately around $100 million to $125 million on a top line of $200 million. So
for every $200 million. Okay, 125 is the working capital.
Yes. Because over there, when you're working local companies, you're not needing to give a lot of the ABGs and BGs and everything when you work with Aramco. It's basically all the non-fund based of LC, basically that's about it, nothing else.
Makes sense. And then last question that I have is, right, given the history behind NPC and how it came into the a table and how we got a chance to acquire it, right? What are like two or three specific operational changes that you think if you make, we can materially improve NPC's economics, over the next 2 to 3 years compared to what historically they've been able to do?
Yeah, so this is very important. We've actually already changed a lot of the operations people because there was a lot of wastage which they were doing, which was going into double figures, and we've already cut it down to less than double figures in single digits. This was absolutely money wasted on the table, number one. Number two is they had a limitation on the spiral mill. They were not upgrading their mill to 100 inch, which is the general norm above 84, and 100 is the general size which all the water orders are going, 88, 92, 96, and 100. So they were completely out of that business and they were not generating any revenue through that, not even their fixed cost, which we have already managed to do and we've almost completed and they're already on trials for that. So in the last 3 months, we've been focusing on these two things, plus a lot of the consumables they were buying from Japan because obviously inherently they were 52% owned by Japanese. So that's one of the major reasons. These three things we have now, consumables we have got because of India and our costing and our relationship, we've managed to bring these three things down, which will help get the cost also down of the company and convert in better efficiency and revenue and bottom line.
That's great to hear, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarsha Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please proceed.
Hello. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity again, sir. So just one question, sir. So when you say a coating plant will, you know, improve our margin by 3 to 4%, so most of what we'll produce in Saudi will also be coated. And so will that, you know, push our Saudi margins towards, you know, 23-24%? Why am I asking this? Because if we expect Saudi to be roughly 30 to one-third or 40% of our business by FY28, that would push our margins significantly higher from what they are right now, right? So can in FY28, can we look at around 17% margin with coating coming in?
Darshil, that's the wish of the company to go there. But sometimes you need to be realistic also, because we need to also, because like we said, the capacity utilization isn't great. So you have to get a design mix of orders and utilize capacity also. Our idea is to be for the next 3 to 5 years consistently delivering between 14 to 16%, and I hope with the Saudi acquisition and the coating numbers pushing up the EBITDA, we should be able to reach, and hopefully, but I cannot commit as on today, but that's the idea, to reach to that number. Yes.
No, fair enough. I was just looking directionally, that the level that we are going at, right? Yes. And again, for Marino, I think we got some payment in, you know, of 70 crores in Q4 FY25. So that would get reflected in other income, because I just was trying to find where would that money get reflected, right? So, I mean, the upfront amount that we've received.
Yeah, that's already come, and Marino will always come as a subsidiary in the other income because it's not from the core business. So
I will explain you. For this transaction, we signed the JDA in the March 25, and based on that, we did the transaction and we showed a revenue of around 370 crore, odd number roughly, 367 crore something in FY25. So 70 crore was used against that particular receivable for which sales was booked in the Marino shelter.
Okay, so we showed revenue, it didn't come in other income, but going forward, it's going to come in other income.
Going forward also, it will come into sales part there, and finally cash flow will come 30 to 50 crore.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's it from my side. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Viraj from MoneyGrow. Please proceed.
Hi, Nikhil. It's me again. Thank you for taking the question. In your press release, you mentioned a bid pipeline of 24,000 crores. Can you give us some flavor for the kinds of orders here? How much is Middle East? How much is India? How much is other export markets, oil and gas versus water versus, and what is the kind of bidding pipeline you're seeing going forward as well?
So out of this 24,000 crores, around 70% is approximately MENA regions, MENA and extended MENA.
Right.
And out of the 24,000 crores, approximately 35% is water.
Okay.
35 to 40% is water. That includes India and international.
Understood. And what is the kind of bids that you're seeing coming up, or pipeline that you're seeing coming up beyond the ones you bid for, in terms of international tenders or orders? Just order of magnitude?
Some very, very large pipelines planned throughout the world. And we are hoping those come through. Some of them will, because those countries have the financial capabilities and have the financial closure in place. And some of them will take some time, but we are seeing, unlike last few years, when COVID finished in 22, we saw a lot of traction, a lot of international business came in because 2 years there was absolutely no, you know, so right now with the war, hopefully sooner or later closing down, there is going to be a lots and lots of traction. I think nothing like we've seen before. So I think we're well placed and we are hoping to get our pie of the share for India and Saudi.
And are you seeing it from a lot of new markets like Central Asia, different markets,
yes.
Venezuela, new markets
yes,
as well?
South America, there is EIS countries, there is Far East. Like
okay.
I mentioned in my note first up, that a lot of traction in the East because a lot of projects coming up because they are the real ones who faced the difficulty of oil and gas due to the war.
Right.
So,
and they won't logically source from China? Why would they come to India? Just out of curiosity.
Most of the countries don't source from China, only very small, because they're all U.S. investments
okay.
and European investments. So that's somewhere we have an advantage.
Okay, great. And my next question is regarding 28 revenues. This is obviously a transition year with NPC ramping up. With 28, NPC should be in sort of a little more full gear. You have Jammu coming on, Dammam coating coming on. Can India, including Jammu, do about 4,600 crore top line and Middle East do, including Dammam, about 2,400 crore top line for a total of about 7,000 crores?
I can't give literal numbers.
Yeah, but approximately, ballpark?
I can give you a ballpark growth between 25 to 35% is where we will end up because we don't know the world scenario, right? Like, you know, shipping, everything. So I can't commit to open-ended, but it should be between 25 to 35% growth.
Understood. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. Thank you so much, management speakers, and thank you everyone for joining the call.
Thank you.
On behalf of Man Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.